Hello, my name is Vinicio.
Hi, this is Janice.
And this is Stephanie. Today we are doing a segment on health, medicine, and healthcare. As Robert Wood Johnson Foundation stated, your healthcare depends on who you are. Race and ethnicity continue to influence a patient's chances of receiving many specific healthcare interventions and treatments. An article I read the other day on NPR.org featured a picture of Wanda Irving holding her granddaughter Salil as she was left to raise her, since daughter Shalom fatally suffered from hypertension complications a week after giving birth in December of 2017. So let me give you some background info on Shalom. Shalom was an epidemiologist at the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, which is a significant health institution in the U.S. She focused on getting an understanding of how structural inequality, trauma, and violence made people sick. She wanted to expose how people limited health options were leading to poor health outcomes. And 3 weeks after giving birth, Shalom collapsed and died due to complications of high blood pressure. Shalom, working to eradicate disparities in health access, became a symbol of one of the most troublesome health disparities facing Black women in the U.S. today due to high maternal rates. The main federal agency seeking to understand why so many Black American women die from complications of pregnancy had lost one of their own. Shalom had many advantages: her BA in sociology, her 2 master's degrees and dual subject PhD, her gold-plated insurance and support system had not been enough to ensure her survival. What's your opinions on some of these disparities?
In my opinion, it's sad that people are losing their lives due to the disparities. I know someone in a situation with the disparity was not being comfortable talking to their own doctor. And it wasn't so much talking, but trying to communicate with the person. This person in particular was a male, Mexican, born in Mexico, first language is Spanish. Every time he would go to his appointments, the doctor would have to get a translator. To begin with, in Hispanic homes, males and females are taught that if you have pain, that you would have to suck it up and deal with it. Now imagine how highly uncomfortable it would be going and disclosing this to a doctor that you don't even like disclosing this to. Now imagine a third party coming in, a person who you do not know, who you're gonna have to tell what is wrong with you and let them know what is your personal problem is. And usually when this happens, they leave out a lot of details, the most embarrassing parts that have to do with the most embarrassing parts of the body, which are highly, you know, most of the time, the parts are more in jeopardy. I have a friend whose father was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And the only reason he wasn't able to get enough help was because every time he would go to a physician or to his doctor, they would have to get him translated. He would not be comfortable disclosing anything to that third party. So he would always leave out little things here and there. Well, one day he ended up falling out. He had to go to the ER to where he had to get checked everywhere. And in the ER, they had diagnosed that he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And
wow, that's sad. I'm sorry they had to go through that. I wanted to present some stats on disparities. According to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, within recent years, maternal mortality in the U.S. is alarming, especially concerning is the fact that Black women in the U.S. die 3 to 4 times the rate of white women. As well, 22% more likely to die from heart disease heart disease than white women, 71% more likely to die from cervical cancer, and then a leaping 243% more likely to die from childbirth-related causes. This imbalance has persisted over decades and even grown in some cases. These statistics right here show that there is something wrong with the system that's not valuing the lives of women of color equally to white women. And for much of the American history, these health disparities were blamed on blacks' supposed susceptibility to illness. As one doctor wrote in 1903, their mass of imperfections, now researchers see the problem is not race, but racism. One can clearly see symbolic interaction is prevalent in the unconscious biases that are embedded in the medical system, affecting one's quality of care. NPR collected more than 200 studies where colored women reported being de-evaluated and disrespected by medical providers.
I have a personal experience I'd like to share where I had went to an ER with my grandmother, and the reason we had gone to the ER is because she had fell and twisted her ankle and would want to say fractured it. We didn't get to know because while she went and went to go try to talk to the doctor at the ER, the doctor had made a heretical, rude remark stating, well, if you're from Mexico, why don't you go back to Mexico and let them fix it?
Mm-mm. Wow.
Yep. And from there, then, my grandma just got the stuff and was leaving, and we never figured out if it was broken or not. She didn't know how to, you know, be at home and just deal with it herself.
Oh, I can understand that. I know that there's a lot of issues in the healthcare and, you know, the health of people of color. Mm-hmm. But I did some researching, and I came across an article that was very, very alarming. It was from a scholar. Her name is Hiju Shan. She's from UCLA. She published an article called Racial and Ethnic Disparity in Health Insurance Coverage. And in this article, it identifies healthcare coverage and disparity between people of color and white minorities. She stated that African Americans have a high risk of being uninsured compared to whites. Based on these results, there are many reasons why majority people are facing issues with the healthcare system. Needless to say, she's absolutely right. Scarcesome as it may seem, the right to have affordable healthcare has been on the chopping table of Donald Trump and the Republicans since he was elected president, unfortunately. To overcome conflict in healthcare, we must first recognize indifferences in which disadvantaged social groups such as poor, you know, the ethnic minorities, women, and other groups who have persistently experienced social disadvantages or discrimination, consistently experiencing worse health or greater health risks than more advantaged social groups. As I see it, healthcare is a right, not a privilege. A great need for millennials to baby boomers are depending on it. You know, they depend on when, you know, if a family member or themselves ever become ill. What I'm trying to emphasize is that minority people worry if their insurance coverage is active. I know we all feel that way. But what becomes the minority groups is that disadvantage is not having affordable medical based on the economics and placement in society leaves them vulnerable. Many minorities, which is white people, they have decent employment that includes full medical coverage. And for those lower class minorities with low wage jobs, you know, they deal with private insurance companies and they're not required to elect vision, dental, medical insurance because they're part-time employees, which ultimately results in them having to apply for public assistance. You know, some of us know that this is Medicare. You know, it's affordable through the Department of Social Services. We call it what, the welfare system, DPSS. You know, and a lot of these people, they're hoping they're qualified because of the fact they have a job. You know, and according to the National Institute of Health, Blacks and Hispanics are less likely to have insurance coverage from a public health insurance coverage than white. Blacks and Hispanics are also more likely than whites to receive care in non-optimal organization settings, such as if they go to the emergency room, mm-hmm. the urgent care, you know, they're gonna inquire those fees, yeah. especially if they, you know, get the paramedics to come. You know, that's additional fee for the ambulance services. You know, and it's sad that we have to think about our health as a price. We had to put a price tag on our health. So I kind of wanted to talk about some things about the high quality health. Healthcare is so prevalent to people, everyday livelihood. You know, you're giving options. Your back isn't against a wall. The feeling of worthlessness isn't the issue since you have resources to utilize if you become ill, or if any individual, anybody, could be your mother, your father, your, you know, your small child, anybody come ill, you wanna just get a simple checkup. You have those options to do that. So I just have a question. You know, even though that I was doing a lot of researches and I kind of came across a lot of articles, mm-hmm. I kind of liked this particular article because it kind of made a lot of sense why we're having so many issues with healthcare. It was from the Commonwealth Fund. They published a survey. In the survey, they disclosed that a wide range of healthcare quality measures include effective patient physical communications or physician communications, overcoming cultural barriers, access to healthcare and insurance coverage, and minority people do not fare well as whites. Wow, I can't believe this is shocking, but it's so, so true.
Although there are several healthcare entities to choose from, people still battle with finding the suitable HMO or PPO that accommodate their medical needs. Agencies like Kaiser Permanente, Shape Health Group, Cigna, and Anthem Blue Cross are in network PPO health insurance plan that many families are selecting to keep all their specialists within one health group. Not saying HMO isn't a good option for those who prefer a specific physician. They've been seeing each other for years, grown to have a special relationship with them. Feeling comfortable with that individual or a person may see him or her as a good family doctor. HMO may be the best choice. Whatever it may be, having healthcare or medical insurance gives you choices. And if you notice how the gentrification dynamics has changed and you're seeing more minority groups in doctors' offices, clinics, and hospitals, that falls in the functionalism perspective.
Let me share this with you. According to author Megan Buford, she talks about examples of unconscious bias leading to health disparities. Some include white male physicians who are less likely to prescribe pain medicine to black patients more than to white patients. Why, you may ask? The assumption that blacks will sell their prescribed medicine for profit. Why? Because opioids are really high on price and demand. They tend to get into the wrong hands and, you know, mostly addicts. Doctors assume that their black or low-income patients are less intelligent and less likely to follow or abide by the medical advice. Megan also states pregnant women face discrimination from health care providers on the bias of their community, their ethnicity and their social economic background.
Okay, so my father is 70 years old and considered to be 100% disabled. He's even has that blue little placard that you put in your car and get the special parking. I spend a lot of time with him in the doctor's office and speaking about bias. Tell me why they always assume my father speaks Spanish because of his last name. His last name's Navarro. And the Caucasian doctor always says, hola, then continues to speak to my father as if he's uneducated.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, and I kind of have a similar experience. I have a great niece. You know, while she was living in San Diego, her name is Erin. She's 7 years old right now. She had a a program called CCF Healthcare, which is covered through the state of California. Full coverage, certain medical insurances. You know, if you're diagnosed with any forms of cancer, it's usually is something that they give to the patients. Mm-hmm. Once she moved to Riverside County, you know, the Department of Social Services, which is DPSS, they advised her mother, my niece, that her only option is the county medical, which is IEHP or Molina. You know, mm-hmm. once she was signed to a physician, you know, they declined to take care, take the responsibility based on her history of having cancer. You know, she, you know, the full metal jacket, you know, she has a big jacket. What I mean by that is like she has a lot of files because she's been to a lot of physicians. You know, when they tried to reevaluate her, you know, they told her it would take an extensive amount of time to get her specific referrals, and this would be too much time, and it would take away from her appointments, which would be self-suspicious because, you know, she lost her eye to lymphoma, mm-hmm. so she doesn't have a left eye. So since she already had established a CCS, which is a program that has physicians that are familiar with her condition, Arian won't be bounced around anymore. You know, they feel that San Diego should take on this responsibility, which is sad because a physician's job is to take care of their patients. So now her mother has to relocate back to San Diego. You know, to me, like I said, a physician's job is to take care of the patient, regardless of their race. Regardless, you know. Make efforts to conference call the other pediatric doctors, you know, to get insight and updates on the patient's current condition and any ongoing treatment that she may be needing in the future. Uh-huh. So I would say that evaluating results are oncoming. I mean, just think about it. If there was a little white girl, you know, patients would have had a more successful story, you know, instead of another sick black child.
True.
It is so imperative to have a healthcare system that is based on equality and fairness. Healthcare that provides affordable, accessible, and high-quality care for everyone should be the main objective. And when trying to revamp and reconstruct the healthcare crisis faced in today's modern day or society.
Yes, these disparities in the health system are so true. I see the discrimination upon my father as a minority every time he asks the doctor for a refill of his pain meds. They tell him he is not in any pain, and they have even accused him of lying, despite him being 100% disabled, as I stated earlier. He constantly has to battle them to get what he needs. I feel his prescription refill should be automatic. On the other hand, my grandfather is German with blonde hair and blue eyes, and his healthcare providers always welcome him with the utmost respect, addressing him as sir, and take whatever he says as fact.
Wow. Okay, we're going to get into the topic now about medicine. You know, around about 1932, you know, some doctors in Alabama conducted a unscientific medical research specifically on black men. This Tuskegee experiment recruited poor black men that had syphilis but didn't know it. Doctors lied to them, telling them that they had bad blood. They injected, you know, a harmless pill medicine called placebo for the disease. Even after the disease became treatable with penicillin, they never gave it to them. You know, they gave these black men no hope. You know, the end result was inhumane. Some died, some went blind, some went insane. You know, sad thing. You know, they do tests on people just to see how medicine's gonna work. Mm-hmm. And also, I did a little research on a lady called Harriet Lacks. She was a poor black farmer diagnosed with a unique form of cancer about 1951. While having a routine biopsy, you know, in the Negro Ward, that's what they called it in Johns Hopkins Medical Center back in the days, white physicians, they extracted a living cell, which is now called the HeLa cell, and they used them in researches without the family's knowledge or consent. But her cell went on. They start, what they did, they took these cells and they start cloning. They start using gene mapping, you know, vitro infertilization, and polio vaccines, and many types of cancer researches. Many years after John Hobsett profited off of this research, they once they never paid the family for the things that they did. You know, they never compensated the family, but according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I'm gonna give you some statistics. 72% of physicians and surgeons in 2017 were white, compared to 8% of black. Stories like these could become the main factor why people of color hardly ever participate in clinical researches, fearing that they can become a statistic, not a factor in the solution.
FDA-approved drugs versus non-FDA-approved drugs, the risk and the recalls. What side effects can cause additional medical issues just to cure the issue at hand? Are these clinical trials conducted mostly on whites, majorities, people who prove ineffective on people of color? A lack of non-white doctors is one of the factors contributing to the low minorities' participation in clinical trials. In fact, 40% of Americans are people of color, but they comprise less than 5% of participants in medical researches. This is one of the reasons that they are dying in many diseases at higher rates than the white Americans. This is also why many drug treatments, methods, and other research developments are less effective on people of color. It has led to higher mortality rates and lower quality of life and higher healthcare costs.
Wow, can anybody, even mention any medicines that you heard on either the street or any of your family members have taken?
The oxycodones I hear about a lot, both family members that need it for pain, but on the other hand, I see people that like to take it for their own personal use.
Wow.
Well, me being, I just graduated from high school not that long ago, like 5 years ago. There's this pill named Xanax. There you go. They're I guess they call the new chill pills. I've seen a lot of kids taking them at my school, and they would be asleep for 4 periods. Like, they'll go and sleep the half of the day at school just from taking one of these things. Like, I've never took one, but I was always like spectacle. Like, whoa, I wonder how they're doing.
Yeah, they don't realize they're taking opioids. You know, which can cause a lot of issues later on in life. We all know that there's a lot of things that we can't avoid. Such like high blood pressure, asthma. Do you know anything, Stephanie? Any of those?
Just the pain pills that my father takes. Also Narcos, Tramadols, and at the same time, I know of people in school who take these, and I don't know why they would want to take them, just, some of these pain pills, and they just end up falling asleep to numb whatever they have going on with themselves.
I kind of feel the misuse of these medications. It takes away from people who really need them.
It does.
You got a lot of people that got HIV, hepatitis, diabetes. I mean, just pain in general. I mean, pain pills are meant for people with pain, not what they call a social use.
Which is really horrible. Like you said, it takes away the people that really do need it. It's difficult for them to get their hands on it because the users gave it, a bad name.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you guys.
So basically what we'd like to talk about is how the our medical system has failed all of us. It hasn't really been helping all of us. We survived. He's like, but we're not doing as good as we could be doing if we were a white or wasn't a minority, how I would say.
Yeah. And in my closing, in my conclusion, I just want to say that we all are one and the same. Our outer appearance is the only indifferences man can contest to. It's very hurtful when race and ethnicity become the main hatred that caused so many conflict in society. Whereas it deprives less fortunate people based on their economics, race, religion, gender, sexual preference, and even age. We have a lot of elderly people that are struggling just to make it, you know, without medical. You know, poor healthcare cannot resolve itself without, you know, first recognizing many factors that separate people based on the color of their skin. We must continue educating our oppressors and continue to fight against injustice in the health, medical, and healthcare sector.
And then I keep thinking of the Shalom story. She had all of the risk factors in order for the doctors to treat her with caution. And there were many opportunities when she met with different health officials to identify that something was going wrong, and they were all missed. The health system failed us yet again.
Yeah,
point blank period right there again. Yeah. Perfect example.
Yeah, we would just like to thank you guys for listening to our podcast. Once again, this is Janice.
Stephanie.
And this is Vinicio. Thank you for listening to our podcast.